Blog Talk Radio.
You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
Got to have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, 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 get up.
We must eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
See a glass half empty, but an optimist see a glass half full. Are we locked into regressive mentality by change unseen? If you try to fail and then succeed, which have you done? Do you ask enough questions or do you settle for what you know? The only questions that really matter are the ones you ask yourself. Welcome to Mental Dialogue. All I ask is that you think.
Welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith. The return of intelligent radio. We ensure the free flow of opinions. So we welcome all of your thoughts out there. We are a show without an agenda per se, but we'd love to hear your thoughts on different subjects. But this is our special Saturday in which we bring in guests to have conversations with experts in their career fields, in hopes that it can give you information that you need. And this morning, I'm pleased to have in a very special guest, Dr. Tawana Houston. She's a naturopathic health doctor. Dr. Houston, if you will, say hello to the truth seekers out there this morning.
Good morning, all you truth seekers. It's so such an honor to be invited to come and speak with you all today. And thank you so much, Montoya, for having me.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Houston, you were actually, we had you speak briefly last night at the Mental Dialogue Live Experience, the once-a-month event that we have here in the Atlanta area, the Urban Grind Coffee Shop here in Atlanta. And so you came out, and I think you were pretty well received from the crowd last night, so I'm pretty sure the Truth Seeker this morning will be pleased with the information, and we hope to go a little deeper this morning. But real quick, how did you feel about your visit to your speaking with the Mental Dialogue community last night at the Mental Dialogue Live Experience? How did you feel that went for you?
Oh, I think it was a great opportunity to be amongst some of the conscious, elevated conscious thinkers here in the Atlanta area, and so it's always nice to just be out and give love and have some of that love shown back. So is the connection still there? I can't hear anything. Uh-oh.
Hey, Dr. Houston, I'm sorry about that. I've had some issues the last couple of weeks with losing the line, so I do apologize for that. You still there for me?
Yes, I am here.
I appreciate you. So I do apologize to anyone out there that may be listening. We will definitely work through that this morning. Hopefully this will be the only time that happens this morning. I've had that happen twice last week, so I have to kind of figure out what's going on with the studio here. But we definitely are. Again, I wanted to appreciate you for coming out, and it sounds like you did enjoy your time with us. But to get started, if you will, Dr. Houston, if you will, just give the audience some of your background and how you actually got into the career field of becoming a naturopathic doctor. I guess it is, like I say, given that background, what made you do it? And just to kind of explain to people who don't know what a naturopathic doctor is. So if you can kind of do all of that in one, I'll definitely, you know, give you the floor for that.
Okay, great. Well, I initially started out in human services. I did counseling, case management, and I did that for several years after I finished graduate school, where I obtained my Master of Divinity with a concentration in pastoral care and counseling from Princeton Seminary. And it was in working with the various clients and just dealing with them with the mental, emotional issues, spiritual issues, and working through all that. And in one of my last jobs, we would give out a lot of sugary snacks to our clients. I worked with the homeless population for several years, and I saw like the changes in behavior after they would have, they would just kind of overload on some of the processing packaged and sugary snacks that we would put out, and just a lot of aggressiveness and so forth. And at the time, I was just very passionate about learning more information about health, just to work with my own health and stay healthy and work with preventive health maintenance. And I was just acquiring a lot of information. And I have a call to service, to human service, to help people. I've always been so passionate about helping people improve their quality of life. And so it was just over time that in working in the human services field that I wanted to do more. It's like, I want to understand the physiological process a lot more. As time went on, I eventually went back to school, got accepted into medical school, got my doctorate in naturopathic medicine, became a licensed naturopathic doctor, because with naturopathic medicine, it is a particular type of medicine where we're not just dealing with science, but we're dealing with art and philosophy. And that's the difference between that and conventional medicine, because with the philosophy and the art of the human body, and not just the science, but working with all three of those components, it helps in equipping us to understand people on a more individualized basis. And so there's going to be absolutely some, every human body is made up basically in the same way, but at the same time, there's going to be some variances depending on your social conditions, depending on your mental, emotional conditions, depending on your environmental conditions. So many different factors. And as a naturopathic doctor, I'm taking all of these different factors into consideration when I'm sitting down dealing with you, the individual, and understanding that depending on how these factors are impacting your life, they're going to impact your health ultimately. And so with naturopathic medicine, we're looking at the whole person, the mental, emotional, as well as the physical and the spiritual, and understanding that there needs to be a balance in all aspects of you being you, so that there can be a more wholeness and completeness to your health and your longevity and your vitality. And so whenever there's an imbalance in one of those areas, it's going to cause an imbalance in your well-beingness. And so I'm looking at the root cause of what is affecting your body from being able to do what it's designed to do, and that's self-repair. When the body is self-repairing, then it just needs to be supported in that process. But when we see so much of the diseases happening in people, just a strong prevalency of that these days, it's because the self-repair mechanism that we all have has been slowed down, or it's been halted, depending on where the person is in their disease process. And so I'm looking at all of these different things that are affecting that process, and I am supporting it naturally. And so when you ask me about what a naturopathic doctor does, is that's one of the biggest things, is that a naturopathic doctor gets to the root of the problem and not just simply helping you to manage your systems I'm sorry, manage your symptoms, but when you understand the root, your health is much more optimized instead of just your symptoms being managed, which means that over time it's going to take more and more higher forces if you just re-upping on medication and surgeries because it's only being managed at a symptom level instead of helping your body to do what it's already designed to do, and that's heal with a self-repair mechanism.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely a big distinction. Let me ask you this, just one more thing into your background, and then I want to ask you some specifics too, in a sense, to some of the things that you are doing. But just to get this understanding, so you kind of led with that your background, you know, you went to medical school or whatever, you went to medical school, and so in taking this holistic approach, understanding, in a sense, how long is the medical school, in a sense, that you're going to, and just from the typical traditional method that we may think of it here, in the West, per se, when we think of somebody going to med school, and so you say, I'm a naturopathic doctor, I'm licensed, I went to a med school as well. With you taking this holistic approach, generally speaking, how long is your med school, and what's similar in your medical school in compared to just the idea of what we think of med school?
Okay, excellent question. Well, going to school for a naturopathic doctor requires the same 4 years of medical school education that's beyond 4 years beyond your undergraduate level. So it also requires in terms of entry, just because I was not pre-med undergrad, I really had no idea that my journey would unfold to me going back to school at a later age and medical school at that. And so there are still just your same, your basic science prerequisites to be able to deal with the rigorousness of medical school, because you are dealing with a lot of science first couple of years. Going to school for naturopathic medicine and your conventional medical school, if you're going for MD, those first 2 years are, I wouldn't say they're identical, but there's just a lot of, that's where the strongest similarity is, because you still have to, you're required to know everything about the human body in terms of anatomy, just tons of time in the anatomy lab, working with the cadavers,
So that makes sense. It makes sense. And like I said, that's kind of a question I had in my mind. And so I wanted to clarify for anybody out there that might be wondering, in a sense, because you're focused on natural, I wanted them to completely understand that, in a sense, going to a naturopathic doctor, in that sense, especially when it comes to even the science portion, is no different than going to a medical doctor, you know, in general. So I wanted to kind of get that clarification for myself as well as for anybody else that might be wondering that. And so one thing that you keep talking about and you spoke to last night was the idea of getting to the root cause. And so there's clearly a because you say naturopathic medicine, and, you know, so when we think of the word medicine, but you say naturopathic medicine. So in getting to the root cause, in a sense, what type of medicine would you offer versus me going to my regular doctor, for example, for some type of ailment? Is there a difference when you say medicine in the type of medicine that you will offer, or is it just a different in approach, which I think you spoke to last night, but I want to make sure, you know, people hear that this morning as well.
Okay, sure. And I just want to speak a little bit more about the educational difference, just so that you can understand the answer
okay.
the question that you had. And I was explaining about just how all of the basic sciences are the same between a conventional medical school and a naturopathic medical school. And so when we get off into the differences with naturopathic medical school, we're taught philosophy in terms of just a philosophy of what our naturopathic principles are. And I've already said just one of them being that understanding that the body has a built-in self-repair mechanism, and then understanding that we're looking at disease from a root level, that we're starting out with the least invasive forces necessary to stimulate the self-repair mechanism. So that's removing any barriers to that self-repair mechanism, as well as supporting and tonifying the organs and the organ systems to help to just get the mechanism moving in the right direction of self-healing. And so we're serving as educators. The doctor is a teacher. And we're doing, you know, what is best for our patients, I suppose. And so when you enter into the patient encounter with that understanding, because one of the things that people oftentimes are looking at naturopathic doctors as, I get tons of people coming up to me all the time, well, what can I take for this? What can I take for headache? What can I take because I'm not sleeping well? What can I take for my stomach upset? And so they're still conditioned in the conventional model of dealing with the symptom. And so I want to make it perfectly clear that when you're going to a good naturopathic doctor, because not everyone out here has a license to practice naturopathic medicine. Not everyone has gone through formal training and so forth. And so sometimes naturopathic medicine can be a very loose term in terms of people not realizing that, yeah, there is 4 years of medical school education. There is clinical training. There is an understanding of disease diagnosis and knowing the protocols and so forth. And so not everyone is dealing with you on the same level of understanding. And so when I say when you go to a trained naturopathic physician, typically those that have gone through an accredited
medical
education.
Right, right, right. So and I love what you're saying. I love what you're saying. Your approach is going to be, you know, very different, and I love that distinction that you just gave us. That you know, a situation where, like you said, the approach is you're trying to teach, you're trying to do the least invasive, and which kind of brings us to, you know, the question that I, you know, was asking. Like you're giving that example in what the difference might be. So in a sense, again, if I'm going to you for an ailment, you know, and you were just mentioning that and speaking to that. So if you could speak, you know, specifically, for example, like you said just now, somebody comes to you with a symptom, get that approach.
Yeah,
if you could just kind of speak to one of those, you know, examples, what's the difference in approach for a symptom that I come to you with?
The difference in approach is going to be gathering data from you, gathering information.
Right, right.
And
I'm saying,
like,
give me an example. Let's say I come to you and say, let me just give you, give me an example.
All right.
So I'm going to
give you an example of a patient that I had. A patient that I had a few months ago, or sometime last year. She came in, she was looking to get off some of her medications, just improve the quality of her health. And what happened was she had been prescribed Adderall, which is typically used for attention deficit disorder, ADD, because she had went to her physician. She had complained of she was having some brain fog in terms of just not feeling fully alert, inability.
So
if
I can ask you this real quick,
memory.
If I can ask you a quick question, Dr. Houston. So when she came to you, you said she was wanting to get off. So was now am I understanding that in a sense? Isn't that what I would assume, and that's what I don't know, and that's why I want to ask this question, is that Adderall, in a sense, isn't it used for ADD, but it sounds like you're saying she went to the doctor and was still having the symptoms, or you're saying when she went to the doctor, that's why she got put on it, but then she's coming to you saying, can I do something different? Am I understanding the situation right?
Yes, she was wanting something different. She didn't want to be on medications any longer. So she had originally went to her MD because she had the symptoms of brain fog and not fully alert, short, poor memory, things like that. And so based off of those symptoms, that was what they that was the diagnosis that they came up with. And so in her encounter with me and talking things over her particular case, this is what she was sharing. And so she was looking for an alternative, which is why a lot of people will come to a naturopathic doctor, because they are tired of being on a medication. They still are not feeling well and so forth. And so as I spoke with her in regards to her condition and got more information and found out that she also was taking sleeping aids to go to sleep every night for the past year and a half or so, around the same time when she shortly thereafter began to have the poor memory, the brain fog, and so forth. And as we talked more, I found out, I asked her if she had ever experienced any trauma in her life. And so these are not typical questions that you're going to get in a 10 or 15 minute encounter with your MD. So I'm just spelling out like just what some of the differences are. And so at her coming to me for an alternative as a ND, in the typical American's mind, when they think of going to alternative medicine, they're most people are looking for, well, what is the pill that I can take? And so if I would have been anyone else, I could have said, well, if you're on Adderall, I have some natural supplements that you could take for memory and to alert your brain. Mm-hmm. But I'm a clinically trained naturopathic doctor. And so when I talk to you about the philosophy of a naturopathic doctor, I'm not a doctor that practices in natural remedies. Those are part of the things that I do. But if I'm looking at the root cause, I have to spend time with the patient and I have to understand what exactly is going on here, because if I would have sent her out of my office with a bottle of supplements to help her with memory, to help her with brain alertness, I would not have done her the proper service that I was trained to do. But as a naturopathic doctor, I was able to understand that her reason for not being able to sleep at night was directly connected to the trauma she had experienced. And because of that traumatic event, she had to take a sleep aid. And one of the sleep aids that she had been taking was the NyQuil. But it's called something else, like the Sleepy Quill or something like that, but it's in the NyQuil.
Right, one that just aids you in sleeping. So she was taking that as a sleep aid. Right. And I remember, I remember last night you were explaining, and if, you know, if it will, and I know you're going to, you know, kind of, but you were able to relate that, but I remember you were explaining that that stuff doesn't even actually help you really sleep, if I understand from what you were explaining last night at the event, because you gave this example, I remember last night.
Yes, it helps you go to sleep, but it's still a superficial sleep. You're maybe getting to level two. Whereas when you get to your level four sleep, which is your REM stage of sleep, that's where your body is restoring itself, where your cells are restoring themselves. And so if you're not reaching that stage, naturally you're going to wake up more fatigued. Than if your body is not rebuilding itself on a cellular level, then your brain cells, your memory cells, all of those things are going to be impacted. And so, therefore,
that makes a lot of sense.
He was going
that makes a lot of sense.
Going to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So yeah, as you said, where she went to the doctor, the regular MD, and ended up getting put on Adderall because they were just basically addressing the symptoms. By you able to find out this situation where she had made this lifestyle change due to some trauma, that holistic approach actually brought her to you. Well, once she got to you, you were able to take that holistic approach. And so, you know, in finding out that information, what did you end up, you know, I guess I don't know if it's prescribed to her, or what did you end up recommending at that point?
Well, at that point, she was in need of some counseling, number one, to deal with the trauma, because that was at the root cause. It's like until that part gets addressed, then the sleep disorders are going to be there, and there's going to be a need to take sleep aid so that she can get to the point of rest and relaxation. And so there was just prescribing, counseling, and then we did a lot of modifications to her diet as well. And so that to help her with a plan of action. And so the first line of defense is not here, take this supplement. The first line of defense is
right.
What is it going to take to support the root cause? And a lot
of
times,
beautiful.
I mean,
that's beautiful.
Supplements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
a beautiful scenario because, like you, again, that's an incredible distinction that again went in with these symptoms. They're going the traditional method, subscribe with a pill, as you said, and then, like you said, the misunderstanding of naturopathic in the sense of that it will take the same approach. What natural supplement can I take versus this medicine? Again, not the approach of someone like yourself who is a clinically trained physician who actually said the whole approach was to get into the lifestyle, and in fact, that ends up being a success story. But now they're off the pill, not simply taking another type of pill, but actually dealing with the root cause. I love it. If there's anybody out there that wants to get in on this morning's discussion or have a question for Dr. Houston, be sure to call us at 646-787-1691. Again, that number's 646-787-1691. Yes, Dr. Houston, absolutely admire that approach, and I'm pretty sure, as a matter of fact, generally speaking, let's just kind of mention this, and this, we'll have to go to a break here in a little bit, but we'll get started with this just to give a perspective. At the end of the day, as you explained already, naturopathic health takes an entire different philosophy than what we are used to in, you know, in a sense, I would say American society, in as far as, like, again, how we see the medical field. If there were more doctors like you taking that philosophy or had your training, because, you know, you can't just go to, like you said, traditional medical school and be able to do what you do. There is a huge distinction. But if we, if we were able to send more doctors through the type of training that you've been through, and they were taking more of a holistic approach, do you have an idea of what our medical field would look like? What would you surmise would be the biggest difference in how we looked at medicine in America if more doctors were trained as you were?
We would be looking at health from a wellness standpoint as opposed to a management of disease. And with all of the billions and trillions of dollars being pumped into the health industry as of today, it is all from a disease management approach. What can we do for earlier detection? What can we do to help people live longer with a disease, as opposed to what can we do to help people not acquire the disease in the first place?
Oh, I love it. It's more of a preventative perspective. I want to come back with this when we come back from break. We'll let you go into that even deeper, because that definitely sounds like a difference. And another thing, I'm wondering though, would the medical field be okay with it again? Because you mentioned that those trillions of dollars that are spent worldwide on medicine. So, but when we come back from break, we'll be back with Dr. Houston as she gives us more perspective about natural health, and she is a naturopathic health doctor. You are listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, live in Executive Cuts. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
I get my hair cut at Executive.
Executive.
Executive. Executive Cuts.
Come to Executive Cuts, where everyone's welcome.
The service that I get here is the best around Cobb County. I think everyone should come.
Comfortable environment. Treat you real good. Good service. And you get what you want with your hair.
That's the best cut I've ever had since I've been here in Atlanta and Cobb County. So I never go anywhere else.
Whether you got braids, dreads, got fades, or bald heads, come to Executive Cuts. The best one.
Executive Cuts, located on Cobb Parkway, just south of Dobbins.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. This morning, the first hour, we're having a conversation with Dr. Tawana Houston, Dr. T. Houston, naturopathic health doctor, and she was just breaking down, as I had asked her before the break, what would our medical career field look like if we in fact had more doctors like herself versus the traditional method that we're used to. And I like what you said before the break, Dr. Houston, where, as you said, now we are in a world in which there is a management of disease. How can we help people live longer with a disease that is pretty much our entire approach? As whereas you said, your approach would be a situation in which a holistic approach in which you would prevent people from, in a sense, acquiring the disease in the first place. So just with that thought alone, Dr. Houston, if we did have that approach, would that in fact not maybe put you out of business as a doctor? Just what are your thoughts on that?
No, it wouldn't put me out of business. It would put the health industry or conglomerate as we know it out of business. So there would definitely be a significant impact to the capitalistic approach in which we address health today, because it's a money market. So many billions of dollars being put into research, and if we do just return back to the basics of how to live, how to eat, how to think positive thoughts. Don't get me wrong, I'm not minimizing at all the health industry and its role in terms of the various advances that it has made in science of helping people with disease. But what I'm saying is that the way in which we go about it with the masses is just totally needs to be reconstructed to progress humanity, because our approach is not seeing any difference in the numbers overall, a significant difference in terms of the amount of people acquiring many of these preventable diseases that we have, these chronic diseases such as hypertension, diabetes, the obesity epidemic, because our systemic structures have been set up in such a way to work towards that over time. I mean, with something as
let me ask about that. And then again, for anybody out there wanting to get in on this morning's discussion, the number is 646-787-1691. Please press 1 to let us know that you want to speak with myself or Dr. Houston. So if you're online right now listening, the number is 646-787 1691. Press 1 to let us know that you want to speak with us in the studio. But, yeah, just as you were saying, and those issues you just spoke to were very, very prevalent in the African-American community, prevalent in American society. But, you know, from the African-American standpoint, I don't know part of any of us, especially me growing up in the South, whose family has not been touched by, as you said, hypertension, diabetes. And when you look at the numbers specifically in our community, we are afflicted with those, in a, as you said, diseases much more often than some other cultures. And we, again, we do understand it is related to our, you know, our diets or whatever. But, for example, both my grandparents, who were no longer with us, had diabetes, for example. My grandfather, I remember when he was initially diagnosed, he got very strict with the diets and literally only had to take the I guess it was the insulin, if I recall correctly, just for a little while because he started eating in a way that allowed him to, in a sense, come off the actual insulin, if I remember correctly. But with that said, Dr. Houston, knowing that though, for example, hypertension, diabetes, let's say, you know, for example, my grandmother, as I said, who had that. If I bring her to you, or you're talking about a situation in which, again, your main approach is to avoid my grandmother, in a sense, obtaining it, but this is just another disease that's prevalent. So in the sense of diabetes, say my grandmother has it, I bring it to you versus the approach that her doctor took. How do you handle my grandmother now having obtained diabetes, for example?
Well, I would handle it in the way, first I start out with a comprehensive assessment of all my patients. And that's just an extensive document that they're filling out where I'm looking at their entire clinical picture from pre-birth on, essentially. And I ask so many detailed questions because that's my reference tool as we are working through a wellness plan to help them to improve their health from where they are when they first come see me till as time goes on. And just understanding what's going to work and what may be the most applicable. And so I use that as a guideline in getting all of their history, not just their physical health history, but also their mental, emotional, and any other diagnoses that they may have encountered in the past, any medications and that they may currently be on, supplements that they're taking and so forth. And so I'm taking all of this information into account, and I am working with them to better understand where they are in the process, what happened along the journey in terms of getting there, and what possibly weakened their health at a younger period in time. Once I understand all of that, then I am looking at lifestyle factors and being as realistic as possible in terms of because I co-partner with the patient in their wellness plan instead of just telling them this is what they need to do because I'm not interested in patients agreeing with everything that I say while they're sitting in the chair, and then they leave my office and they go back to what they've been doing all along. It's like that's a waste of my time as well as theirs. And so in co-partnering with them with the understanding of these are the things that can optimize your health and what in this process are you willing to do? And that's the most important thing for me because consistency over time is going to be a whole lot more important than you going hard for 1 or 2 weeks and then stopping. The changes that I have seen in patients' numbers, people whose blood glucose levels have come down, whose hemoglobin A1C levels have come down, they have been consistent. It typically takes about a 3-month consistency to begin to see the changes in those numbers, 3 months in consistency with your dietary habits, 3-month consistency in reducing some of your stress levels, 3-month consistency in your exercise, and then those will see some significant improvements in the laboratory levels coming down to a point to where you can, your medication can either be adjusted, you don't necessarily need the medication anymore based off of what their lab values are, and but it is the patient being committed to the process. And then, of course, there's just the replacing, removing any nutritional deficiencies, because we all have some level of nutritional deficiency.
Give me a specific example of, well, you know, when you say remove, because you're right, it makes sense. Like that, so when you say that, generally speaking, we all have a dietary, say the term again, just the efficiency.
Nutritional deficiencies.
Nutrition deficiency. So give me a specific example of helping somebody with something like that.
Okay. Well, the nutritional deficiency, that's going to really be on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, I understand. Just give me an example, just a real-life example.
Right.
Yeah, just
a real-life example. Most people have a vitamin D deficiency.
Okay.
And so how that's going to affect the disease process is that vitamin D helps with keeping the immune system strong. And so the immune system is a part of that, a very significant part of that self-repair mechanism
right.
that I was speaking of earlier. And so if that is compromised in any way, then your other defenses, regardless of what disease you're diagnosed with, is going to be impacted because
right.
you're not
right. So yeah. So well, yeah. So what would you subscribe to? If yeah. So you find out I have a vitamin D deficiency. I'm still saying deficiency. I'm struggling with that. But so you realize, you look at me and part of your assessment of me. That's an aspect. And so how do you help me obtain that? Officially, do I just go out and get some vitamin D pills? Is that simple? Just trying to understand the specifics to some of the approach. Because I
right.
love what I'm hearing, because here's a reality. Like I said, this real quick, my father is actually diabetic or whatever. And literally, I was blown away when I asked him, are they not providing some type of diet? Because he kind of, he knows he doesn't eat the right stuff, per se, or whatever. But literally, the doctor he sees just hasn't come seeing him, and they don't provide him any even recommendations of what he should be eating. And, like, that just blew my mind. And, at the end of the day, it's still up to him to, find out what, to stick to it and do it. But he goes to this doctor with no recommendation of what he should be eating, and it sounds like your approach is completely different. And I would assume, even going to the degree of trying to show them what they should or should not eat. Again, at the end of the day, I do get it comes down to the patient, but he's all walking out of there without even recommendations. That blew my mind.
Right.
But again, I know I'm kind of jumping around here, but again, let's do both questions. So first question is,
right.
if I have a vitamin D deficiency, are you just saying go take vitamin D? Is that the approach? And then how do you feel about what happened to my father? Because it still blows my mind.
Right. With vitamin D deficiency, that would be determined by your lab work and just depending on where your levels are. So there's protocols to get your vitamin D levels raised back up. And so one of them would be supplementation, but that's something that I would prescribe to you in the office. So I'm not sending my patients out to get anything. Anything that I'm prescribing, it's available through me, because what you get out in the stores is not the same as the pharmaceutical grade supplements that I utilize for my patients, because they are they're natural in terms of their packaging. They don't have all of the various additives and fillers. They have a higher absorbability rate, and so you're not just urinating them out of your body, which is what happens with a lot of supplements that you buy from some of the health food stores. Some are a little better quality than others, but when you're dealing with pharmaceutical grade, the dosage level is and the absorbability is a lot higher than what you would be able to obtain on your own. And so
okay.
that's something you would get from me. And so in regards to And vitamin D, that was just an example of a, I'm not right. relating that to glucose levels or anything like that. I just wanted to make that clear. But just you asked for a C that people have, and that was something that I was that wanted to throw out there as something that I
okay.
typically see.
Yeah, yeah, I just asked for like a specific example. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty
yep.
sure I respect that so, people can have several
yeah,
type of deficiencies, but I was just saying, for
mm-hmm.
example,
right.
I wanted to hear
yep.
how you would particularly deal with that, you know, versus,
mm-hmm.
you know, not, you know, just not understanding that, you know what I mean? But
right.
well, before
yep.
I ask you to kind of speak on what happened to my father,
yeah.
I'm
so
actually up against
him,
a break, up against a break.
Oh,
so we'll
okay.
come back from break and I'll have you speak to that when we come back.
Okay.
You're listening
great.
To the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, live in Executive Cuts. We'll be right back. But all I ask is that you think.
When was the last time your tax professional said, "I think I have a way to save you money"? Reginald Clark with Appropriate Accounting Services is a CPA and tax professional. He is dedicated to providing individuals and small businesses with tax saving strategies designed to take full advantage of government tax breaks. Appropriate Accounting Services also provides bookkeeping for small businesses to aid in tax planning and business decisions. What could be better than having a CPA as your tax professional and bookkeeper? Start planning for tax season now by scheduling a consultation with Appropriate Accounting Services. Call 404-410-6458 or send an email to info@appropriateaccounting.com. Again, the number to call is 404-410-6458 or email info@appropriateaccounting.com. Mention you heard this ad on Mental Dialogue Talk Show to receive a special discount.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are live in Executive Cuts. All I ask is that you think. My name is Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and this morning we are pleased to have on special guest Dr. Houston, naturopathic health doctor, as we've been talking about, in a sense, her background as well as the natural health perspective when it comes to medicine, which is a very different approach. And before the break, Dr. Houston, I was just giving you the example of what my father is currently going through in a situation in which he pretty much he has diabetes among some other complications, for example. And in all the situations, though, it's really a situation of where typically they're just checking different levels. And if the levels are okay, then things kind of stay the same. If there's some issues with the levels, again, it may be more dosage or but in reality, in his specific situation when it comes to diabetes, I was just shocked to find out that his doctor doesn't provide any dietary recommendations. And that just blew my mind. I think there was an opportunity for him to see a dietitian per se, but for the most part, the doctor just checks the levels and subscribes, and that's the end of it. And based on listening to you for the last, you know, 45 minutes here, it sounds like it's a completely different approach. And so I just wanted to see how you felt about it, because I definitely still right now as we speak feel some kind of way about the fact that they don't provide that information to him.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. You bring up a very good point. And just in our whole conversation, what we've been talking about, even with you just starting with the differences in education. And just I told you that our basic sciences are more or less the same, but we do where and we're both getting trained, the conventional doctors as well as naturopathic doctors with pharmacology. However, their pharmacology, of course, is a lot more expensive, and our nutritional, clinical nutrition is a lot more expensive. And so in our botanical and herbal therapies, and so there isn't the same level of training in terms of the understanding of the impact of nutrition and food on the body from just a cellular level on
okay.
through
so,
to
so
physical
actually,
manifestation. So
got you. So actually what you're telling me, if I'm just listening to you clearly, that doctor, to a certain extent, based on the difference in the education, may be almost doesn't have the ability or have the knowledgeable
exactly.
to even speak to the dietary,
yeah,
again, because
exactly.
of the focus of managing a disease over the root cause approach. So, again, they get more education on how to deal with the disease, again, where you're taking an entirely different approach. Now, let me ask you this. This is my father's, you know, up in South Carolina, but, you know, I'm a little interested in having, possibly even having, you know, just to be sincere with you, maybe even he'd speak to you. Is there a situation as where as, I don't know if this is even part of the, I don't think it's a part of your career field, but just because I don't know, when a doctor practices in a, are y'all limited with your boards as well as by state? Is that an issue that even comes up with being in the medical field? And I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yes, great question. Right now, naturopathic doctors are licensed in 17 states throughout the United States. I hold a license for Washington, D.C., even though I'm living in Georgia and practicing in Georgia. So I hold my license for credibility's sake, but my scope of practice, because I am in, while I'm in Georgia, is limited. And so I'm not able to practice at my full scope if I were actually living in the state in which I'm licensed for. And
wow.
So there are definitely some limitations to.
Can you speak to those limitations, or is that, I don't know if that's appropriate for your industry, and I don't, you know, if it's not, please, I understand.
No, it's fine. For the most part, while I'm here in Georgia, I function as a high level consultant. As opposed to, so I do not provide physical examinations. And so that's a significant piece, but 80% of patient diagnosis is going to be patient history. And because I understand that piece, and then with the physical exam, you know, the extent to what it is, and you follow it with lab tests and so forth. And so there's a few variables that I do not do while I'm here in Georgia to stay within the scope, the limited scope. Because there isn't a licensure place, there is no scope for naturopathic doctors, and so I just continue to operate as a consultant for the time being until there are some changes, and you can speak with your congressperson for your area. We have various legislative agendas on the slate for many states, because we are working so that there's licensure throughout the United States, not just in specific states. But that has to happen on a local level first.
That makes sense. Let me speak to that real quick, because this is, you know, just getting this understanding. I can see, I would imagine that based on the complete difference in approach, do you think the drug industry will be opposed to some of what y'all are talking about, and or is it just making people more aware when we talk about on the local level, again, politics is on the local level. So now you're talking about, as you said, getting on the slate to make sure that you are in fact licensed so that you can operate in your full scope. Is it a situation where the drug lobbyists per se are not open to what you are doing? Is that part of your fight for getting into legislation?
Oh, yeah. We definitely face opposition around the country because it first starts with just an understanding of who we are and what we do, and not being deduced down to the level of quackery, because we're working more from a nutritional standpoint. But if to know anything about the human body does not function without nutrition. And so for that to be low on the totem pole in terms of a priority in knowledge and understanding when you're dealing with the human body, then you have to wonder, you know, what is the true interest? Is the true interest in disease and making money off disease, or is it really in healing people? Because you can't heal people without, you can't know, you can't not know anything about fuel if you're in the business of making cars that are fuel dependent. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I love it. What about, do you feel like y'all face any opposition from the, maybe even the food administration itself? With everything that's going on.
Like you said before, it's all politically driven, because for the world to function from a place of wellness, it will tear down the economic structure. A large part of the economic structure is built on the lack of health of people.
That's very important. So, what you speak of in our last few minutes. If I could just kind of delve into that, and anybody, we got a few minutes with Dr. Houston, so if anybody had a question, we're at the top of the hour. We are going to move to our Money and Power Hour for the next hour. So if you do have a question that you want to get in, 646-787-1691. But yeah, the thing that you speak about now, I think maybe we have to do a better job of making people aware not only of people like yourself existing, but when you, as you just said, when there's an entire industry predicated on us being unhealthy, on us eating the wrong foods. And I think as the American public, we are subconsciously aware of it. We know it exists, but it's like until we put it in our conscious, we don't think about what can we do to help change the culture in the sense of from a societal approach of being about wellness, whether it's, again, having an opportunity to send my family member, which based on what you just explained to me, you know, my father's not here in Georgia or whatever, but it sounds like it's there's a limitation to what I could even have, sometimes even be done. But I do see the value. And from what I understand, you actually work right now right beside, in a sense, a traditional doctor. So in that sense, to kind of, you know, in your last statement, whereas we just talked about there being this entire industry that, in a sense, doesn't fit with what you do, but at the same time, there are doctors who understand your value. And so, from what I understand, you're not opposed to traditional medicine. And so, can you speak to, in a sense, you being that consultant for a traditional doctor? Well, how is that relationship considering what we just talked about?
I am not opposed to traditional medicine. There is a time and place for all aspects of medicine, and that's going to depend, number one, on the patient, and number two, on where they are in the disease process. And so, of course, if it's from a preventive nature, then I am definitely the person that they want to be with. But if they are if their disease has progressed, then starting out with your conventional MD, obtaining your labs, if there's any diagnostic imaging that needs to be done, and once there's an understanding of what is going on with the disease process, then naturopathic medicine is going to come in to aid in that. And so with the situation you had mentioned earlier with your father in terms of being on insulin, then he was able to make some dietary modifications able to get off of insulin. And so with me working in an unlicensed state such as Georgia, and if I were working with a doctor and they were prescribing the insulin and working in conjunction, and the same patient is working with the doctor prescribing them insulin, and they're working in collaboration with me, and I am providing nutritional supplementation, herbal, botanical, okay, herbal supplementation, dietary modifications, working specifically with the patient to help them, right, to bring their blood glucose levels down, so that now they no longer need the medication. And so,
oh, I love it. I love it. And so, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, your doctor is very smart to basically work with you and collaborate with you. Well, Dr. Houston, I definitely love everything that you've had to say this morning. I appreciate you for coming on. For someone, I guess, here in Georgia, where you are available, can you provide, I guess, any contact information per se that for them to reach out? Because based on what I've heard and, you know, from what I've seen here, having met you, you're definitely someone that people may want to know. So if you will, provide them your contact information, and I thank you very much for coming on this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Montoya. For the listeners out there that are interested in scheduling appointments with me or even learning more from me, I do have an upcoming Nutrition for Healthy Living class that will be held on two dates. One is next Saturday, January the 23rd, from 11 a.m. till 12:30. And then that will be in the College Park location, and then that held again on Tuesday, January the 26th, from 5:30 till 7 p.m. at the downtown Decatur location. And you can get more information and register for that class by going to my website, and that's www.journeyofwellness.org. And you can also reach me by phone to schedule an appointment or register at 404-585-1561. 404-585-1561. And thank you all for listening today. And thank you, Montoya, for inviting me on your show.
Hey, appreciate you, Dr. Houston. We are up against the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. When we come back, we will be at the top of the hour for the Money and Power Hour as we move into a tax discussion with certified professional accountant Reginald Clark from Appropriate Accounting. All I ask is that you think.
Mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, there's far too many of you die. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer.
What I thought, son, this country, you've got to make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman. That's why you've got to make your own moves.
Money in the power, money in the power.
I ain't falling short, I got the
money in the power.
Yep.
Money in the power, money in the power.
Yeah.
Never going
backwards, I got
money in the power.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and we are at the top of the hour, the Money and Power Hour. Every third Saturday, we do a full hour of economic empowerment for our community. If you are a regular listener, you know we do the Money and Power 15 on the other Saturdays, but the third Saturday, we do a full hour, and this morning, I bring on financial experts, and this morning, we are pleased to have in the house Mr. Reginald Clark from Appropriate Accounting, a certified public accountant. Say hello to the Truth Seekers this morning. This morning, Reginald, we're glad to have you on.
Hey, good morning, Montoya, and good morning to everyone that's listening. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you for having me on, and I hope I can be of help to anyone that is listening. Good morning.
Hello, Reginald?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, thanks for staying on the line, brother. I do apologize for that. I've had, something's going on with the system here. I hope we've been able to keep a few listeners out there. I hope we didn't lose too many of our online listeners. Had a couple situations, so I do apologize for that. But, Reginald, thank you for coming on this morning. If you will, give the audience your background. Keep a lot of you as a certified public accounting, but if you will, let people know how long you've been doing that and how long you've had appropriate accounting as well.
Yes, well, my business has been in existence since 2010. I've had a little over seven years of tax experience, especially in individual situations as well as small businesses. And we specialize in doing amendments, so we like to review any of a taxpayer's prior years if they're new with us, as well as, of course, doing tax preparation, which is we're in the depth of the season now or getting cranked up, as well as tax planning, which is something that our community actually does lack, and that's planning for certain tax strategies or tax implications that may come forward and affect how our tax returns are being done. So that's what we definitely specialize in, as well as doing bookkeeping for small businesses. That would be your Schedule C's, sole proprietors, as well as your LLCs and S-Corps.
Okay, so you've been doing that for the entire seven years. Did you have any background into this before the 7 years, or how did you get into this? And even before having, did you start out just having your own business per se?
It's actually a really quick funny story. I was running a trucking business back in 2005 with a friend of mine, and it went under. It didn't go too well. And, I had a friend who actually worked for the IRS, and I kept asking her, do you have any pointers or anything that could help me try to recoup this money? I had lost a nice sum of money and really wanted to get it back and find out how to get it back. And I knew there were ways, but I didn't know the laws around it when it came to the IRS and the IRC tax code. So I started doing some research myself and digging, and was able to find and, of course, ensure that what I did find and double-check that it was correct. I was able to actually amend my own returns to actually get that money back that I did lose in the business. And from there, I had a couple of friends that, kind of pushed me forward and said, hey, this is something that you probably
Let me dig in before you get into that, because that's a bit, like you said, it was actually an interesting story. So I just want to make, and if I'm heard you correctly, I want to kind of dig in right there. So you're saying, having, in a sense, not had success in your trucking business or whatever, when you said, well, I want to look to get some of that money back, I'm thinking the average person is going to think, okay, well, what else can I do to make up the money I lost? And what you're telling me is you actually talked to your friend in the IRS and realized there were things that had been done wrong on previous tax returns to actually get it sounds like you said most of your money back. Like I said, maybe I didn't understand what you were explaining, but I definitely think it's a unique approach to think, well, let me just look at my tax returns, because if that's the case, it's probably a whole lot of business owners that should be doing that, because you already mentioned specializing and looking at addendums, if I'm saying it correctly. But that's very interesting that at that time that you had that loss, you took that approach to get some of your money back. And did I hear that correct?
Right, yeah, that is correct. So, before then, the only type of experience I had was strictly educational and from my schooling at Morehouse, but I hadn't, done nothing else before that. So in talking with my friend at IRS, she really didn't have anything for me, because that wasn't her specialty. She was auditing other types of tax returns. So my situation wasn't something that she could necessarily help me out with. But, yes, there are, especially if you were like me back then and you're doing your tax returns on your own and you have a complex situation, and, again, that's something you need to find out if you do have a complex situation. That's where some of your mistakes come. So if you're doing it yourself, or you have someone who maybe do not necessarily have the credentials of a CPA or an EA, which is a registered agent with the IRS that is allowed to do tax returns and complete tax returns, then there are some things that you could be missing, such as losses from a business that you're running.
Well, now you mentioned getting your education from Morehouse. Did you get your undergrad at some type of accounting, financing, or something to that effect?
So what happens is, when
you and your friend go into the business per se, I'm assuming that was the part that you were you maybe had other duties as well, but one of the parts you were particularly expected to handle was the financing and the accounting of the business. And you in fact found at the time, like you said, once the business in a sense went under, you still were able to make some changes and look at some things when it came to the IRS to in a sense obtain, I guess, money that there is it fair for me to say the government that you had given to the government and realize that more of that was your money? Is it that type of situation? And if that's the case, then it makes sense to me why appropriate accounting has become known for doing this, because it was in fact your own personal situation. And that's, like I said, that's if I'm hearing everything correctly, and I just want to make sure I'm understanding, man, because this is unique. And I'm always wanting to recommend people to you, but this is just deeper to understand why you even got good at what you do, man. Is that in fact how I'm understanding your history here?
Right, correct. And the only thing that I want to make sure that's clear is, if, for instance, if you're in a business and that particular tax year you may lose $5,000, reporting that $5,000 loss on your taxes doesn't mean you automatically get $5,000 back. So for me, it was something where, for instance, I lost $5,000, but because I was able to put that on and do my amended return, I ended up getting back, $2,000 to $3,000, for instance, mm-hmm. which, of course, everyone's situation is different, but mm-hmm. that's kind of a baseline which you can look at. If you're able to record legally any losses that you've had from the business, that, of course, lowers your taxable income, which then, of course, lowers the tax bill that you owe the IRS for the year.
Hey, that's a significant amount. Like you said, it's not all of it, but that's definitely a significant
right.
amount. Okay, so you, in fact, this, you becoming, like I say, again, in a sense, focused and good at that part. And so I guess once you did it for yourself, you were like, let me start a business in which I help others do this too. So give me, in a sense, when you say you specialize in that, what other type of situations have you dealt with? Go ahead. Give me another example of, getting into this business. And because there's a lot of CPAs out there. But again, you say you specialize
right.
in this aspect, which is looking back at prior tax returns to ensure that you, in fact, didn't, in a sense, give the government too much of your money just because somebody, did the simple accounting. So when you're digging in, what examples do you have of another example of something like that? Because this is very interesting to me, and I think more business owners should be familiar with this process, in my opinion.
Yeah, so definitely when I have anyone that I talk to that has their own business or is running their own business, the first thing that I want to do is look at their past few years, because, again, you as a taxpaying citizen, you're allowed to amend up to 3 years backwards. So at this point, we're at 2012, 13, and 14, where there's a possible amendment that could be done. So once I get that from them, I'm definitely looking at their Schedule C, because what I see 9 times out of 10 is that most people are working home businesses. And in those home businesses, they're not taking certain deductions, such as deductions on their car, deductions on their home. That would include the home office deduction. So from there, that ends up being a dialogue that I have between them to understand, first off, is that something that you do have set up, for instance, the home office? And second of all, when did you set it up? And asking those type of questions so we can see, can we get an additional deduction for that to, of course, lower your tax bill? The same thing would go for your cars. A lot of people, you have your personal car that you're driving to and from, and if you're a person who's also working for someone as well as developing your business on the side for growth, that's the time that you're using that car. All of those expenses that are related to it, a percentage of that business use you can take. And so you'll find a lot of people maybe are misappropriating that, putting that in the wrong slots, or maybe not taking enough, maybe taking too much. So for me, when it comes to me, it's to get it correct because, yes, you want to get the money back, but at the same time, in the case of an audit, you don't want to be able to not substantiate the deductions that you're taking. So for me, it's all about
getting it done. That's big. Because the last part you talk about, in fact, can get people in a lot of trouble. We're up against a break, so when we come back, I would like to talk about that aspect of it too, which is, again, another reason to go to someone like yourself, a certified public accountant. So, Reggie, we'll be back for break here. When we come back, we'll get into that. You are listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, live in Executive Cuts. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
I get my haircut at Executive.
Executive Cuts. Come to Executive Cuts, where everyone's welcome.
The service that I get here is the best around Cobb County. I think everyone should come.
Comfortable environment, treat you real good, good service, and you get what you want with your hair.
That's the best cut I've ever had since I've been here in Atlanta and Cobb County, so I never go anywhere else.
Whether you got braids, dreads, got fades, or bald heads, come to Executive Cuts. The best one.
Executive Cuts, located on Cobb Parkway, just south of Dobbins.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are live in Executive Cuts, where all I ask is that you think. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and we are in the Money and Power Hour with Mr. Reggie McClark from Appropriate Accounting. We are getting into the tax season. I'm glad to have you on, brother. And if anybody's out there that wants to get in and speak with Reggie or have any tax questions, you know, in a sense that he may be or may not be allowed to answer, he'll let you know that. But please call in with your questions. The number to call in is 646-787-1691. Again, that number is 646-787-1691. And press 1 to let us know you want to speak with Mr. Reginald Clark here in the studio. But before the break, Reginald, we were speaking about, the fact that you can, in fact, go back 3 years on your tax thing. And that sounds pretty unique to me in a sense that, you know, there are a lot of places you can walk in, you know, whether it be one of these block businesses where you walk in and, you know, in a sense they're trying to get you in and get you out. It sounds like you're taking a more hands-on approach to really look at and, as you mentioned before, make sure that you, in fact, didn't give too much money or even in a situation where maybe, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be happy to hear that you just broke down to me, I need to give a little more money or whatever. But like you said, if you respect in business, it's nothing more important than having those numbers right so that, in fact, you're not hit with a bill that can, in fact, drive you out of business. So if you could kind of speak to that, that reality of what people, how people putting themselves at risk by not having someone know the ins and outs of, like you said, maybe the housing deduction or the car induction, or, you know, for the fact that a lot of our community, we do have a lot of single employment businesses in the African-American community. So if you could speak to that, I think that'll be good for the audience.
Yeah, sure. So you definitely have those that when we can go back to the home deduction and the depreciation of your home is one where I see that 9 times out of 10 is always blank. People are not taking that off. And we know when it comes to selling our home that land, you know, doesn't depreciate, and we know that the building or the structure that's on it does. But for some reason or another, when it comes to our tax returns, and whether it's ourselves that's doing it or someone else, it seems that we tend to miss that. And even if it's not a lot, but it's something, you know, and when it comes to a small business owner, every little bit counts. And every little deduction that you can get, you want to get. So when you think about the depreciation of a home that you're living in and you're running your business out of, that you're using that home office for, that's a portion that you can take onto your taxes, and then it'll flow through, and then that could be a benefit for years to come. So like you say, I'm definitely getting in and going backwards and finding that out. The same thing actually goes for those of us that own rental homes, rental properties. So the example that I had last time when I was on your show is that I had a young lady come to me, and she did have her tax return done by a CPA, but she had moved, and at the same time she was not, pleased with the relationship. So through a friend, a mutual friend, I was able to get in contact with her. And then the first thing I saw is that here are the big, one of the biggest deductions that you're missing. You know, when you think about a home business, you only get the percentage of the depreciation. But when you're a landowner, excuse me, not a landowner, but a landlord, you get that whole 100% of whatever that is that you're depreciating on that building. So that ended up being a significant deduction for her that we were able to get. And in that year, I believe it was roughly about $4,000 that we were able to get back as a refund for her recommended return.
She still loves you to this day, huh, Rich?
Well, yeah, she's actually one of my best clients. She has her checklist together. She has everything ironed out and ready to go. So, yeah, it's no messing around with her after I was able to do that for her.
Okay, speaking of checklists, I know that's something that, you know, most CPAs like to hand out or whatever. But just even talk about that, just the idea of that interaction. What, you know, obviously, if I as a client bring my entire checklist done, you love me, I get that part or whatever. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the reality is, especially if you're getting into a small business owner or, like you said, someone who's owning properties. And so if throughout the year, I'm not necessarily keeping that stuff where I'm supposed to. And so it's kind of like I bring it to you in a big pile and hope you can put it back together, you know, for me again. But again, you know, for you specifically, you do some bookkeeping. So is that the arena where you are able to, you know, with as an additional asset of your business of appropriate accounting, is that in a sense an area where you're able to cover a business in both arenas, so you're keeping them together all year, so that part, you know, obviously you're going to make it easy for yourself at the end of the year. But am I thinking correctly in a sense that that's what, you know, just to kind of delve a little bit into further what you're able to do for someone other than this, even someone who's just a CPA, am I thinking correctly, and that's how you would also help a small business if in fact somebody wanted to take advantage of that part of your service?
Right. So jumping back into the big pile of receipts, the box of receipts, so what you basically outlined is a CPA or accountant's nightmare. But there are those of us that are willing to deal with that, and there are those of us that have solutions for that. So the first thing is, yes, you would definitely want to press to a client, you know, stay organized and stay on top of the document management. The life gets in the way, and as a small business owner, you're a person that wears many hats. So then the dialogue becomes, well, should I be continuing or should I start recording and keeping up with your books for you? So then that's a service that I have as well. But I'm not going to sell a service just to sell a service. We're going to first find out, is it really necessary or needed? Some persons are organized enough and on top of it enough where what I do as an added value to them is I provide a template for them. So it's an Excel template, very nicely put together, to where all they have to do is pull it either from whatever software is or however they've been keeping it up, plug those numbers in, and then provide it over to me. And then I just need to see documentation that it is together. Others, they don't have time. So what they need is they need someone like myself who is an expert in QuickBooks, who takes classes in that as well, and able to keep that information together. And there are tons of tools out there within softwares like QuickBooks and others that my persons like myself use to be able to keep that together. So when tax season comes, we're just flowing it over from one system to another seamlessly, and that part you can pretty much wipe your hands clean, it's done. So is that having that discussion to understand, you know, you know yourself. Are you organized enough? Are you going to stay on top of it enough to be able to get this done, to be able to stay on these checklists like your accountant would like or your CPA would like? Then if not, then let's have that discussion to see how we can help and what needs to be done to try to get you to the end goal, which is, you know, getting your tax return done and done correctly.
Yeah, that's very important, and just thinking about even business within the African American community specifically, quite often, and you obviously being an accountant, I mean, you can probably speak to this way better than I can, but generally speaking, in trying to survive and do business, as you said, a small business owner wears a lot of hats. And generally speaking, that business owner, we know what the reason that they're in business is because they're good at whatever that is that they're good at. That may be their product. That may be some type of service. So that's the part that they're good at. But trying to stay in business, we both understand that even in this capitalist society and all the opportunities there are to be a business owner, most businesses, in fact, fail. But unfortunately, in the African American community, that number of businesses that fail are even higher. And a big part of that, which is we're all understanding the importance of cash flow, but what we typically miss when we go into business is the importance of having someone like yourself. We know we kind of could, but we're just always assuming, it's not something that I can afford right now. I'm not in a, if I can just get my cash flow up to this point, then I'll be able or just have me a good CPA at tax time only. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That is kind of our regular approach, generally speaking. If you could just speak to how that approach is, in fact, the worst mistake you could make before going into business is, in a sense, not having someone who's an expert in bookkeeping and accounting per se as a in your back pocket, if you could just kind of speak to that approach for someone who is going into a business with maybe not the foundation of a lot of money, but how someone like yourself works with, in fact, a real small business owner.
Right, correct. So when you do make that decision to be a DIYer, there are some things that you potentially lose. So you lose that checklist of items and dates, because you think about with us, that's what we have to understand and keep up with, knowing that an individual's tax return is due on April 18th versus if you're running an S-Corp, that's due March 15th. So understanding when your payroll filings are due and other types of document due dates. So that's one thing that you do lose. Again, when it comes to your bookkeeping, you have to understand how to categorize things. So you may be taking meals and entertainment and taking it at 100%, but you may only be allowed 50% depending on what type of event was going on, or basically if it's ordinary and necessary for you to take that. So like we went back to our discussion of in the case of an audit, and you have all of this meals and entertainment you've been taking at 100%, think about 50%. You know, if you have $10,000 meals and entertainment bill, but you were only able to take that $5,000, so that's $5,000 that you now have to add back to income, which means now you have a higher taxable income, which of course this means that you have a bigger tax bill. So it's some of those things. I would always err on the side of caution. If there are things that you're just unsure about, especially when it comes to categorizing your expenses and your income, as well as when documents are due, then you have to find someone like myself that knows that and is basically getting paid to know that. When it comes to the actual price, that's another thing. The accounting industry, and I'll let you guys know something, the accounting industry is going from an hourly billing to more of a value. So it's kind of like the customers name their own price and what they're willing to pay for. And then the CPA can tell them if they can help them or not, rather than the other way around. Back in the old days, it's here's our price, this is what we do. You know,
gotcha.
Are you okay with this?
Reginald, if you will, let me jump in here. Let me jump in here. Unfortunately, it looks like I did something here in the studio. We're going to lose the on-air portion, so I just wanted to let everyone out there know that. We're going to keep going because I want to have a full-hour podcast availability that we will continue to promote. So I just wanted to let people know that on-air, we are actually going to go off the air in 30 seconds. I'm having an issue here in the studio, but this podcast, this full podcast, will be available. So sorry about that to the truth seekers out there. I won't be able to get your questions in, but hopefully I'll ask appropriate questions and you can listen to this portion pretty much probably in the next 45 minutes. We will get it out on Facebook and through all our social media options. I do apologize. We will continue, but we are going off the air in the next 5 seconds on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. See you next Saturday. I do apologize for the difficulties today. So sorry about that, Reginald. I'm not quite sure what happened with that. I may have set the schedule different than I realized, and that I will take the blame for that. But I definitely want to keep going with what we're doing because this information is still, still being recorded per se. Okay. Actually, we're losing the recording too. I've never seen this happen before. All right, I've never had this happen in my entire time doing this. I don't know what's going on. Because what it typically does is we can, like, for example, when I do my typical show for the two-hour block, I could record it for longer. It just can only be on air for longer, for so long. So this is something I've never seen before where it's actually not recording either. I typically don't do that because I don't want the podcast to be 2.5 hours long and people not listen to it. You know what I mean? So I typically go off the air at the same time. If I'm playing a song, I'll let that finish. I must have scheduled something wrong here, and I hate that this happened, and I'm going to have to bring you back on. We're still in tax season, so we'll definitely get that taken care of, but it's showing me that we're not recording. That's unique. So I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is bad. Okay. We're gonna make do. I mean, I'm every Saturday. Hope I don't lose nobody permanently. That's not on you if I do. But just talking to you, man to man, don't know what happened. But we will because the tax season is long. So maybe next month, if you're willing to come back on for the full hour segment, that's just from me to you because of what happened for this segment. So that's regardless of whether you're still promoting on the thing or not, if you're willing to, if you're able to. I know you'll be in the middle of the season, so we'll check and make sure you're available to come on. But we'll do a full hour next month when I do the full Money and Power Hour, which will be the third Saturday. If that doesn't work for you, we'll figure something else out. But I do apologize right now. I don't even know what's happening.
Okay, no problem.
All right, just in case this podcast does carry this part, I will say we're going to close this podcast off. I don't think it is being recorded, but just in case it is, we are closing this podcast off. Appreciate anybody out there that bear with us today. I'm not for sure what's happening in the studio. Take care. Thank you, Reginald, and we will be back next Saturday.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye.